Back in 1962, John Glenn became the first United States astronaut to orbit the Earth. Maybe some of you remember that experience. That was a little before my time. But 36 years later, he went back into outer space on the Space Shuttle Discovery. Now he's 77 years old at that time, and then he was the oldest person ever to go into outer space. Now, before he launched into space as a senior citizen, there was a press conference, and he talked about what NASA had done to the space shuttle to accommodate him. He said they set the space shuttle's thermostat to 80 degrees, they adjusted the aircraft to not exceed 25 miles per hour, and the right turn signal would be left on throughout the entire mission. Okay? You know, maybe some of you can relate to that as you're still driving on the road. Others of you think, you know, I got somebody in my family that sounds kind of like them. For the past month, we've been talking about the family. We've been in a series called Relatively Speaking, and we're talking about how we relate to the relatives who are closest to us. And we began that series talking about our relationship with ourself, and we talked about integrity and the importance of being an authentic person. Next, we talked about our relationship with our siblings, and we talked about loyalty, how important that is in the family. We considered our relationship with our parents. We talked about duty, our duty to obey them when we're young, to care for them as they age. Then we talked about our relationship with our spouse, and the key word was intimacy, how important that is, not just in a sexual intimacy kind of way, but just relationally. Last week, we talked about how we relate to our kids, and we looked at responsibility. And we're going to wrap up today with this idea of how we relate to our grandchildren, how they relate to us, and then future generations. And the key word is one of my favorite words. It's the word legacy. What kind of legacy are we going to leave behind for those who come after us? Now, I realize that some of you are decades away from having grandchildren. But we've said all along that what it means to be a family, part of what it means, is that everything's not about me. Everything's not about you. Sometimes we have to accommodate others in the family. And in this series, we've talked about different kinds of relationships. I've wanted to look at this from all sides. And the reality, I think more and more, is that grandparents have this incredible opportunity to shape the future by how they influence their children and those who are younger. But you know, It's not just grandparents, because really all of us have the opportunity to have an influence on anybody who's younger than us. Just last Sunday, 12 people came to our Starting Point class, 12 new folks to our church, and we had 5 children who needed to be watched during that class. And Carlene Ritter, you know, one of our faithful members, and her 2 teenage granddaughters watched those 5 girls who needed to be watched. When the class was over, I kind of watched those girls, and those 5 girls were all about the teenagers. They didn't even notice we were there, you know? And so there's this cool opportunity that all of us have to have influence on anybody who's younger than us. And we can do that in a positive and a dynamic way. But what I want to do specifically is to dive in and talk about grandparenting. Okay, somebody said that grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your kids. Okay, maybe you can relate to that. Nofel Staten was a little more diplomatic. He said, becoming a grandparent is God's compensation for growing old. And you know, I have wonderful memories of my 4 grandparents and how they poured into my life. And then watching my parents and Gail's parents as they blessed our kids. And now it's my turn. It's our turn. Gail and I have a granddaughter, Ruby. She's on the right, and a granddaughter, Lola. And we have a grandbaby on the way due in March. I'm not excited at all about that. You know, King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 17:6, children's children are a crown to the aged. I can relate to that. Not the aged part. I resent that part. But I can relate to the crown part, right? Our granddaughters and the baby on the way are like a crown of blessing. And man, Gail and I love them with all our heart. And if you've got grandkids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, today, we're going to see that the Bible offers insight on how grandparents can maximize their influence on the next generation. There's kind of a stereotype, it's been around a long time, that grandparents are old and frail. We see it in cartoons, we see it on television, in the movies, kind of like the video that we watched this morning of Mr. Wilson next door. Not Dennis's grandfather, but still kind of old and grumpy, the way he'd shuffle around in that movie and gripe about things. I read an article years ago now, written by a 9-year-old girl. Here's a few excerpts, what she said about grandparents. She said, a grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she likes other people's girls and boys. A grandfather is a man grandmother. They're old, so they don't play hard or run. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums off. Everybody should try to have a grandma and a grandpa, especially if you don't have television, because they're the only grown-ups who have the time. That's kind of how I remember my grandparents. I mean, they were loving, they were available, they were kind, and they were old, you know? I mean, they were like the fossils in the family. That's just kind of the picture I have in my mind. But yeah, I mean, like, man, today's grandparents, I mean, they're just as likely to be working full-time at the office and working out at the gym and volunteering at church and, you know, playing in a sports league and going on a mission trip and listening to rock and roll music, and they run circles around their kids. I found that picture yesterday. It just cracked me up. You know, one grandmother laughed and said that she used to look at the clunky black shoes that her grandma wore, and she dreaded the day when she would be old and have to wear shoes like that. She said now that she's a grandma, she walks the neighborhood in her yoga pants and Reeboks, and she smiles at all the young girls who go past her wearing clunky black grandma shoes. So, look, we're all growing older, right? We get that. Man, I mean, every day you're a little bit older. Many of us are facing the painful consequences of, well, just a whole lot of birthdays, right? They have a way of having a bearing. And I don't want to make light of anybody's health problems. I'm just saying that a lot of people are grandparents for a lot of years before they ever get into the physical challenges of growing old. I guess what I'm saying is this is not a sermon about being old. This is a sermon about influence. And it's a sermon specifically about the opportunity we have as grandparents to impact the future and maybe the eternal destiny of those that we love so very much. Now, before we get to that specifically, I want to talk for a minute, look for a minute at Jacob in the Old Testament. We've been doing that throughout this series. Jacob, whose name was changed later to Israel, struggled in many ways throughout his life. He was dishonest. He was disloyal. He was unfaithful, especially in his early years. But as he grew older, his faith matured, and he began to seek the Lord more and more. We read about him in the book of Genesis, and we learn that he was a son, and he was a grandson. He was a brother. He was a husband. He was a father, and he was a grandfather. And he had numerous grandchildren. He had countless descendants from there. But I want to specifically show you an interaction that took place with his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. These were the sons of Joseph, okay? Genesis 48 begins like this. It says, sometime later, Joseph was told, your father is ill. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. And when Jacob was told, your son Joseph has come to you, Israel rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. And then down in verse 8, when Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, who are these? They are the sons God has given me here, Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, bring them to me so I may bless them. Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. And you just get a sense that this was such a profound moment for him, just to be in the presence of his family that he loved so much. And right away, we see the investment of Jacob into his grandsons. He rallies his strength when they came to visit. Man, if you've got grandkids that wear you out, you know, you got to kind of brace yourself and get ready, because here they come. He showers them with affection through hugs and kisses. He blesses them with words of affirmation. He recounts their legacy and reminds them that they are descendants of Abraham and Isaac. But most importantly, he invites God into their lives to bless them. Look what it says in Genesis 48:15. Then Jacob blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth. He blessed them. And there's something subtle that happens here. We're not going to read all the verses. I just want to kind of explain to you what goes on during this blessing. Some people assume that Manasseh and Ephraim are twins. We don't know for sure if that's the truth or not. But we do know from Scripture that Manasseh was the older of the two. Okay? And so that's why when Joseph brought his sons to Jacob, who couldn't see very well, he took Jacob's right hand and put it on Manasseh's head. He took his left hand and put it on Ephraim's head, because at that time, the right hand was kind of the symbol of blessing. So he was designating that Manasseh would be the one to be blessed as the firstborn son. Only Jacob took his hands and did this, and he switched his hands on the boys' heads. And Joseph tried to pull him back, tried to correct him. He said no. In fact, this is what he said in verse 19. He said, I know, my son, I know. Manasseh too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. Just as Jacob reflected back on his life, and he became the leader over his older brother Esau, he prophesied that Ephraim would be leader over Manasseh. And I believe that God directed that blessing, but I think it shows us something else about Jacob as a grandfather. He may have loved his grandsons the same, but he did not treat them exactly the same. He recognized their distinct strengths and weaknesses, and he saw that they would be different, they would thrive in different ways, and he blessed them in that way. I think it shows a certain wisdom on his part. It shows a grace on his part that came from his own life experiences, that he was helping them prepare for what their roles would be in the family later on. Jacob was shaping the future because of his experience in the past. In fact, that's the first observation I want to make today about grandparents. That's that grandparents provide wisdom that comes from life experience. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. And it's kind of understanding how to make right choices and to recognize why certain decisions are best. Proverbs 24:3 says, by wisdom a house is built, through understanding it is established. Now, where does that wisdom come from? The kind of wisdom that you build a house on? Well, it comes from the Lord, of course. But often a great source of wisdom is the previous generation. Now, not always. But often people who are a little farther down the road have insight on helping us navigate what's coming next. Job 12:12 says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? Again, not always, but often. The fact that you have lived more years and have had more of life than your children and your grandchildren suggests that you're more equipped to understand the consequences of certain actions, the importance of weighing decisions and being very careful. I heard an ancient proverb that says, old age to the unwise is winter, old age to the wise is harvest. Now, some older adults become cynical and maybe just kind of negative and complaining. But I've known many senior adults who have just an appreciation for the simple things of life, and they understand what really matters in life. They kind of carry themselves with a greater assurance, and they lean upon God maybe more readily than the younger generation because of their past experiences, because of things painful in their lives, and because of things joyful. You know, when Gail and I would be making big decisions in our lives, we would talk to our parents. They've been there, done that. They help us navigate big things, the implications of buying a new car or of making a career change, trying to navigate parenting and figure out what on earth to do. It's foolish to ignore a wealth of knowledge and wisdom that's stored up right there nearby. Now, having said that, if you're a grandparent, I would advise you to share your wisdom cautiously, right? It's tempting to want to always be the parent with your adult children and try to control the activities in their lives. Once children become adults, especially once they have kids of their own, we need to kind of take a step back and let them be adults. We have to let them navigate parenting and the decisions that have to be made. We might disagree with them, but we need to be prepared to kind of swallow that frustration and let them be grown-ups. If we are offering advice and they choose a different course of action, we have to not get our feelings hurt. We can't pout. You know, every time I had to put that up there. If you're an Everybody Loves Raymond fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You pout every time they act in a way that kind of goes against what our suggestions are. And it just drives a wedge in the family. Years ago, I read an article by somebody who was growing older, and they wrote, "Lord, you know that I'm growing older. Keep me from becoming talkative and possessed with the idea that I must express myself on every subject. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody else's affairs. Keep me from the recital of endless detail. Give me wings to get to the point. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be wrong. Make me thoughtful but not nosy, helpful but not bossy. Lord, with my vast store of wisdom and experience, it does seem a pity to not use all of it. But you know, Lord, I would like to still have a few friends at the end." You know, most grandparents have wisdom that comes from experience. It'd be a shame for us to miss out on that, okay? Here's a second observation about grandparents, and they provide support that comes from their own parenting background. They've been there. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:5, he's talking to Timothy. He says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which lived first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Notice that the influence of Timothy's grandmother had this direct bearing on his own mom's faith, and then her faith impacted him, changed his life. Paul wrote later to Timothy, "From infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation." We would assume that Timothy's grandmother was a first-generation Christian. She was part of that first crowd that came to Jesus, and she helped shape the life of her daughter, and then it shaped his life as well. And as grandparents, it's so important for us to be supportive of our grown children as they raise their kids. Don't fall into the trap of saying, you know, back in my day, kids never acted that way. I mean, it has just always been true that the world's a messy place to raise kids. But I'm telling you, the world that our kids are growing up in today, it is so much more complex and so much more difficult to navigate than anything that most of us faced when we were their age. We need to be humble, and we also need to be sympathetic to the challenges that parents are facing today. Now, of course, you want to protect your grandkids from the chaos of modern culture. I get that. And you want to try to spare your grandkids and steer them onto the right path, spare them from some of the mess. But man, new parents need understanding from mom and dad. Parents, we need to remember as grandparents now and as parents of our grown kids, that, man, it's hard to be consistent as a parent of young children. It's hard with a strong-willed child to kind of break the will without breaking their spirit. If we constantly berate our kids for everything they're doing wrong as parents, we're just causing harm. Be supportive. Be supportive of your grandkids. Don't add to their anxiety by constantly kind of hounding them about irrelevant things. Now, we don't have to condone immoral behavior, but we don't have to gripe at our kids, grandkids, and expect them to look like what kids looked like 30 or 40, 50 years ago. You know, when I was in high school, I had kind of a scraggly goatee, and then when I got to college, I grew a beard. And my grandma Joan said, "Doesn't Mark look nice in a beard?" And you need to understand, my grandma was the kind of person who thought the only thing that could have made Jesus better is if he shaved every morning. I mean, you know, that was just kind of her philosophy about facial hair. But because it was her grandson, all of a sudden, maybe it wasn't so bad after all. Grandkids get hassled enough at school, right? In the neighborhood, on the playground, at work. We don't need to be hounding them about things that just don't matter. Support means also that we don't undermine our kids' authority. If you're a grandparent, your kids probably parent different than you did. Let them do it. Let them be wrong. I'm just kidding. You know, it's going to happen. I mean, some grandparents I know, they're just so lenient, and they're constantly griping because their kids are too hard on the grandkids. Now, I get you want your kids to be safe, and you don't want your kids to be abusing the grandkids. But let's face it, you weren't a pushover when you were parenting, but now you expect your kids to be because it's your sweet little grandkids. Somebody said that most children are spoiled because the parents won't spank grandma. You know what I'm saying? Look, Gail and I are grandparents, right? And we understand it's fun to spoil grandkids a little bit. But if you're the one who's providing like daily childcare, or you're involved in their life so much every day, if you undo all the discipline they're receiving at home, you're undermining your kids' authority. You need to be supportive. Now, I know other grandparents who just wish their grown kids would toughen up and provide a little discipline. It's like the grandkids run the house. And you might have to bite your tongue and swallow your words and tolerate some behavior that pushes all your buttons and grates on your nerves. The parents are in charge. You had your chance. You know what I'm saying? We have to find balance here. Now, I will say that I know many grandparents who are raising their kids because mom and dad have checked out altogether. And praise God for loving grandparents. But the truth is, it's just challenging watching our kids handle their kids in a way that feels unwise. And sometimes you have to speak up, but if you do it, I would say do it carefully, and I would say don't do it very often. Jacob told Joseph that Ephraim would lead Manasseh, that the older would serve the younger. And that was tough for Joseph to hear, but it was God's will, and it needed to be said. But to be fair, Jacob didn't say that kind of thing very often. Now, here's something else that I think is worth observing, and that's the grandparents provide an example that comes from maturity. In the New Testament, Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2, and he's offering advice for how Titus can teach the senior adults in the church. He says in Titus 2:2, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Older men should be temperate. In other words, they should live lives of moderation. We think about this specifically applying to alcohol, but really it just kind of speaks to life. You live a life under control. I had a friend several years ago, and his father-in-law would come over once in a while to watch the kids, but it was always a roll of the dice on whether dad was going to show up intoxicated. Now, he never, ever, ever drank in front of the kids, but if he came, obviously he could not babysit if he was under the influence, and it just became such tension. Paul says, look, older men should be temperate, respectable, self-controlled, exemplary in faith. We're not talking about perfection, but kids need role models. They need people they can look up to, and I'm telling you, they're watching. Parents, grandparents, I promise you, they are watching. Now, Paul also tells Titus how to talk to the older women. He says in verse 3 of Titus 2, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what's good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so no one will malign the word of God. Paul says, look, older women have this beautiful opportunity not only to model godly behavior for their grandchildren, but to train the moms, the younger women, to just be the best women, the best moms, the best wives they can be. And I know I'm kind of a little biased, but I think this is something that my wife Gail does really well. She has such a gentle personality. Honestly, I don't know anybody who dislikes Gail. In fact, most people like her more than me, which, come to think of it, kind of makes me dislike her. But I'm kidding. Okay, but look, she is a great supporter of young moms. She wants to help younger women find balance and find joy and find peace in the middle of the chaos that they're going through right now. And I love that about her. And look, I get that older women aren't experts, and I understand that maybe there's somebody nosy who's kind of gotten all over your business and you get a little bit tired of it, but I'm just saying, man, you first get married, or you first bring that child home from the hospital, or you're dealing with teenagers, finding somebody farther down the road can help you survive, to gain some confidence, to maintain hope that this is a temporary situation. We ought to be seeking advice from older adults. For years, my closest friend in ministry was Dave Kennedy. Dave was old enough to be my dad. In fact, he had a daughter my age. We went to college together. But in spite of the age difference, Dave and I, man, we did ministry together. We wrote sermons together. I couldn't tell you how many hours we've spent on the phone talking through messages. We walked through the darkest times of life together, both for him and for me. And he died last year. And man, I miss him every day. Every day. But there was something about having a friend who was older, who was wiser, who was more experienced, who could just kind of help me deal with life. And he shaped in many ways who I am today. And I think when people become friends who are from different generations, that is so powerful. And I think it's a mutual benefit that we have. Listen to these words from Psalm 78. Think about how they relate to grandparents, but just in general, maybe the generational differences. It says, "We will teach the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know Him, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children." The Bible says that God's counsel is handed down from one generation to the next. But friends, the responsibility, follow me here. Once your children grow up, you don't stop having responsibility. Can I just admit to you as a pastor that I have heard people say, they're people in their 60s, 70s, maybe in their 50s, and they say, "Well, you know what? I've done my part. It's time for the younger ones to step up. It's time for them to serve." Let me just suggest that you not say that to me, because you're going to tick me off. I mean, in Christian love, okay? Because look, you might retire from your career, but you don't retire from serving the Lord. All right, we don't. We're in this together. And man, you might be poised right now to have the most influence of your life because of what God has done in your life. Older people have this wealth of knowledge and experience, and you can bless the rest of us if you're willing to share it and if we're willing to listen. All right, here's kind of a last observation, and that's that grandparents provide unconditional love that comes from an allegiance to Christ. The key here is that the love is unconditional. It's love without stipulations. It's love that's boundless, that's unrestricted. It's "I love you." Oh, sorry, it's not "I love you because of this or that." It's "I love you anyway. I love you no matter what." It's constant, ongoing, unconditional. That means we have to be patient, right? If we're going to love that way. 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient, love is kind. I mean, it's great to challenge our grandchildren to excel, to try to motivate them to learn. We want them to do better. We want to try to smooth out their imperfections. But we don't want to demand perfection and just nag them all the time about their struggles. One grandmother wrote into a magazine, and she told about babysitting her 3-year-old grandson. The little boy was having trouble pronouncing certain words. And so it was about noontime, and he said, "Grandma, I want some yunch." And she knew that he meant lunch, but she was trying to get him to pronounce the word. So she said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you said." So he said a little more emphatically, "I want some yunch." And she said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand." So he took her by the hand. He led her over to the kitchen table. He pushed her down into the chair. He put his hands on her face and said, "Weed my yips. I want some yunch." Okay. Look, it's going to take time for kids to mature, right? We've got to give them some time. In fact, that's another thing about unconditional love, is that it takes time, quality time. I mean, you've heard this. One kid said, "I never see grandma and grandpa anymore. They got retarded and moved to Florida." You know, look, grandparents have time that can be so powerful in the life of a grandchild. Find out what's going on in their lives. Don't just tell them what happened when you were a kid. Find out what's going on with them right now in their lives. Some of you have grandkids that live next door. Gail and I are just so jealous of that, man. We have a granddaughter in Cincinnati. We have a granddaughter in Durham, North Carolina. And we do FaceTime, and we try to stay in touch the best we can. When we are together, though, man, it's playing games, it's reading books, it's taking walks, it's making memories, because it's so important. But you know something? Unconditional love also means we forgive. Man, maybe you've heard nobody can hurt you like your kids. I didn't understand that when I was a teenager, but I understand it now. unless we arm ourselves with kind of a generous measure of forgiveness, we're not going to survive parenting and grandparenting. We need to let go of the past. We got to live in the present and maintain hope for tomorrow, right? And a forgiving spirit is going to go a long way to making that work. Now, we're about to wrap up here, but let me say this to grandchildren. Leviticus 19:32 says, "Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." One of the ways that we show reverence for God is by respecting older adults. Children need to respect seniors. You know, older adults love attention from kids. If you doubt that, take a 5-year-old to a nursing home. They won't know you're there, but they will be all about that child. And if you're young, man, don't be afraid to offer a smile or a hug to the older folks who are around you. I mean, you just won't believe the impact that you could have. In fact, I'm going to challenge you today. If you're under the age of 25, you can't leave the building today without at least saying hello to an older adult, okay? If you're really brave, look them in the eye, shake their hand, tell them your name, and ask them their name. That might floor them right there. They might have a heart attack right on the spot. And listen, if you're a teenager and if a teenager walks up to you and you're like 49, don't be offended, okay? I mean, just let it happen, okay? Just let it happen. All right. We're going to wrap up here, but let me give you a bottom line. I know I've said a lot of things. This is kind of the summary for the day. Grandparents shape the future because of their experience in the past. Grandparents shape the future because of their experience in the past. Look, it takes faith and dedication and patience and love and humility and all those things. But we can shape the future because of what we've experienced. The Bible says that children's children are a crown for the aged. I can't imagine life without grandchildren, but I can't imagine life without grandparents either. It's how God's woven the family together. We need each other, previous generations, future generations. And so we honor our grandparents. We learn from them. We listen to them. And grandparents, you model your faith. You shower love every day. Your role in the family is priceless. A grandfather and a grandson were out walking around in the woods. And the grandpa said to the little boy, he said, "Do you have any idea how far we are from home?" Kid said, "Nope." He said, "Do you know how to get home?" He said, "Nope." He said, "Do you know which direction the house is?" Kid said, "Nope." Grandpa kind of smiled and said, "Sounds to me like you're lost." He said, "Grandpa, I can't be lost. I'm with you." Let's pray. Father, you've woven the family together in such a way that we can learn from previous generations and we can bless future generations. And God, I know that any topic like this can be painful for some, either because of regret over opportunities missed or because maybe a painful childhood, maybe negative impact from the past. But God, help us to look at today, to look at tomorrow, to see the opportunities that are before us, no matter what age we are, to bring somebody else along, to make somebody's day who's younger. And then as those who are younger, may we realize that rather than neglecting or dismissing those who are older, that we have just a power within our own hands and through our own interactions to show them grace and to show them value. God, may we do that well. Weave us together as a family in Christ. The people of all ages know that they're important because they belong to you first of all and because we belong to each other. Thank you, Father, for the roles that we get to play in building your kingdom on this earth into the family of God. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.